Did you know color is vital to your health? I'm not talking about the color of the walls in your house or your clothes. I'm talking about the color of the food you eat. A colorful diet is a part of staying well because many nutrients are color. The antioxidant lycopene is the red pigment in tomatoes and pink grapefruit. Chlorophyll is excellent for balancing pH and cleansing the body. It's the green in kale, spinach, and broccoli. Eating a wide variety of fruits and vegetables provides your body with diverse chemistry it needs to heal itself and stay well. Eat the peelings of things like apples and carrots. Balance of Nature is whole produce. It contains all the vital parts in balance. Color, taste, and smell keep you well, and that's what you get with Balance of Nature.
Start your journey. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Get free shipping and get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code KATE.
Hi, friends. If I could ask you a favor, go to MyPillow.com and put in the code word Kate. Mike Lindell and I have partnered up not only to bring you fantastic products, but he's also helping this show. You're going to get wonderful products when you put in the code Kate, K-A-T-E. You're going to get 30% off on the products. They have specials all the time. But these, I'm not wowed easy, but these products are amazing, I have to say. The sheets, the towels, the robes, the slippers, everything. Completely amazing. You're going to love it. The phone number is 1-800-873-1052 or go to MyPillow.com and simply put in the code word Kate. Thanks, you guys.
This show is not for sensitive snowflakes. We enjoy the right to offend each other. It's part of this free speech thing that we fought so hard to get. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
My name is Chris Smitherson, and I'm unvaccinated. Ever since Omicron hit, I just felt so alone. I feel so left out since all my vaccinated friends have COVID. Every time I see my vaccinated friends all hanging out inside, wearing masks because they all have COVID, I really start to regret my decision not to get the jab. Sometimes I fake a sneeze just to feel included, but they can tell I'm healthy. I've tried everything. I licked doorknobs, I double-dipped guacamole, I even ate a Golden Corral. But nothing worked. No matter how hard I try, I just can't get the Rona. Since I can't be quarantined with my friends, I guess I just have to continue on with my life.
How can you not laugh at that? I'm unvaccinated, but all my friends keep getting COVID that are vaccinated. I just want to be around them. Oh my gosh, the things that you can do with humor. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I'm excited that you're with us today because I've got Melissa, and we're going to have so many things to talk about in this hour that you really need to be aware of for help as far as how we can get out of this. And then, of course, Susan, and we'll be talking about false flags and all kinds of things, gas prices, all kinds of things going on in the last hour, too. And so in this hour, I welcome Melissa Smith. Oh, sorry, I got to get rid of the music. It's always like a snafu. Every single day, I have some sort of snafu. It's like a Where's Waldo? Where's the snafu today? Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I am good.
Excellent.
And I feel so happy because I've done the COVID thing just like all of my friends.
Oh my gosh. You know what's funny is people that are freaking out over, I have a sniffle. I think I have it. Should I test? And I was trying to tell people this, the post office is sending out these four free tests to you if you just fill out their form. And the fine print says basically they're going to send all your information about these tests that you just, you know, wanted to not only the post office auditor, your congressperson, all of law enforcement, every government agency that requests it or wants it, or regardless of whether they want it, your bank, your financial institution, and all of the fine print. So please don't fall for that. But then at the same time, of course, we had a caller call in and he was great. And he said, yeah, but they now have a database of who's not asking for it and who's asking for the test. And that is very true. And so my hat tip to him, that is very, very true. And so, you know, there's a lot about this that we need to be aware of, but we also know we need to know how to fight this. And what I love about the Babylon Bee, that was a Babylon Bee video, by the way, they do a brilliant, brilliant job at humor to try to point out the crazy and the delusional that is happening because of all of this. Some of their best headlines: Democrats warn that Republicans plan to steal the election by blocking Democrats' efforts to steal the election. And then also, school sends separate email to parents every time a kid sneezes. And the videos that they have and all of the headlines that they have, you guys, what a great thing to have in our arsenal is humor to get to people that would not normally be checking some of this stuff out. And I think that we actually really need to pay attention to the humor side of this, because humor really can shake people to their core to get them to snap out of it, you know?
Well, hey, Kate, I'll tell you, this cracked me up.
What's up?
So my husband's workplace, before the Supreme Court decision came down, they sent this big, very ominous email. It's going to be the law, and everybody's, you know, if you're unvaccinated, you're going to have to test every single week.
Right.
So we were looking around, like, where are we going to buy test kits? And by the way, they also said you couldn't test at home. It had to be like at a reputable, anyway, there's a whole other story with that. But my husband started going to pharmacies and saying, I need 52 test kits. How soon will you have those in? And the pharmacist would just look at him and like, why do you need so many?
Right.
He said, well, my employer said I have to test every week, so I might as well just buy a case now. Oh, and people were just looking at him like, you are really weird.
I love sarcasm. I do, because sarcasm is good.
It's exactly what they were asking for.
Yeah, it's true. And it's kind of like this. With any of the headlines, they're really poking fun at this. They're really poking fun at the screwiness of all of this. And you know what's interesting is England just made an announcement, right? And let's talk about that. Because had people not resisted, no announcement like this would have ever been made. So if you don't think that you can do anything, you can. And resistance is number one. I know some moms that were telling their kids, stop wearing the mask. And the vice principals, these turd sandwiches of a vice principal, were going after him and saying, no, you'll wear it. You will wear it. And they were like, you know, calling him out across the hall. You're not wearing it right. But the kids were standing their ground. And they were like, no, you're an idiot. Not saying that, but really, truly keeping the mask down. Like, no, you're a total tool for making me wear this thing that's toxic and on my face that's causing me harm. Alan Stevo wrote a wonderful book, 376 Things That the Masks Are Doing to Us. And so we need to fight this and have our kids fight this, even though it's uncomfortable. But what did England decide?
Well, this is so exciting. And it, I'm going to preface this with a humorous little comment, because I think this had very much to do with what's come down. Not solely, but in part.
What did they decide?
They have decided, Boris Johnson just announced today that all of it's done in England. No mask mandate, no vaccine passport. They're not going to ask people to work from home anymore. If they're going to keep on saying, if you have symptoms and you test positive for COVID, we're going to ask you to, you know, quarantine at home, which seems like a rational sort of approach. Mm-hmm. If we had done that at the start, it would have been a rational thing to do.
Right.
Just like if you have the flu or if you have strep throat, we're going to ask you to stay at home. You know,
right.
Just, if you're sick, stay at home, for goodness sakes. Anyway, that's going to phase in over some of it. They said the mask mandate for school children is over starting now, today.
Good.
Some of it is going to phase out as their mandate, you know, their legislative deadlines come up. But most of it will be done by the end of this month.
You know what's wild is when these things happen, kind of like, you know, the rollout of let's not do it. It's funny that it takes a long time for these total tool, you know, principals, vice principals and teachers to finally get the memo, because they really love the control and they are really caught up in fear, which really makes me wonder about their ability to be around children if they're that bamboozled this easily. But and that much of a control freak. I don't think they should be around our kids. I've met some total tools that are principals, believe me. And here's the deal, though. I mean, when you have this situation, it takes us a long time to rein it in. The CDC isn't dealing much with the PCR test. But everyone else in America is. Isn't that amazing? It's, what is it going to take? A whole nother year for us to stop with the PCR test already? That's already fraudulent? I mean, it just takes a while, right?
Well, here's where the England story takes a humorous turn. And I love this. And one of the things that's not being reported in our media here very much is the size and scope of the protests that have been happening in Europe. Mm-hmm. Thousands and millions have taken to the streets and they've been told, you know, we're going to arrest you. And they say, we don't care. Mm-hmm. The Brits have a very humorous song, which could not be played on the air,
right,
about what you can do with your vaccine. Mm-hmm. I think that implies you can stick it somewhere. The sun don't shine kind of thing. But most recently, just this last week, Boris Johnson was caught. I don't know who narked him out, but he was having, all through the pandemic, for the people that work at 10 Downing Street, he was having a Friday bring your own bottle kind of wine afternoon in the garden kind of thing.
Right.
No one was wearing masks. No one was, there was some social distancing, meaning some people sat at one table, some people sat at another. But when this leaked out and got into the press, got it, and I don't know if it was the press. The British have a different kind of press system than we do here. But when people found out about this, thousands turned up outside of 10 Downing Street with Boris Johnson masks and wigs. If you know what he looks like, he's got kind of funky, that blonde hair that sticks out. And they wrapped themselves up in British flags. Uh-huh. And they were dancing on the street having their very own Friday wine party.
Oh, I love
that. If it's good enough for Boris, it's certainly good enough for us.
Very cool.
And that sense of, I just like British humor, which is a true statement, but that sense of mockery.
Right.
And Boris Johnson came out the next day and he said, well, nobody told me we couldn't do it. And I thought, for goodness sakes, man, you're the prime minister. This has all come with your freaking signature on it.
It's
how
so
can you not know what you've just put your entire country through for the last 2 years?
I know. It's, you know what, they act stupid and they are. And you know, I'm glad to see this. There was a piece on Babylon Bee with humor and it said how to not wear the mask, how to avoid wearing a mask. Number one, smack them with your pocket constitution, or two, shout, am I being detained while waving your Gazden flag? Three, slowly eat a giant tub of cheese puffs. There was a guy on the airplane that stuck a cheese puff in his mouth for an hour so that he didn't have to wear the mask. Dress up as an illegal immigrant. That works. And wear a let's see, what was the other one? Oh, smugly tell them you identify as wearing a mask. There's so many things that are so humorous that can actually point to the fact that these people are imbeciles that we have to deal with, that are so-called elected in. And humor is humor and showing up. And we're going to talk about showing up with Melissa. What does that mean to show up, and how many of us need to do it in order to have a revolution in our favor in this world right now that we're living in? Because it is. It's so toxic right now.
Well, it takes some courage. Mm-hmm. Some things are going. I mean, it's too soon to say that any battles have been won. But sincerely, since the Supreme Court decision, we're watching many companies back off of the whole vaccine mandate thing. Some are not. Some are sticking with it. But here's a sign. Starbucks today announced that they are not going to require the vaccine mandate.
Really? Wow.
So it doesn't get any more liberal than Starbucks,
right? Yeah, they're
pretty
woke. We'll be right back. More with Melissa when we come back. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about so many things that are so positive in helping us deal with all this. Be right back. Kate Daly Show. Hi, everybody. Go to the bottom of my homepage. You're going to see an ad for Z-Stack, Dr. Zelenko's new vitamin supplement that combines zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. All of those things that we talk about on the show, he has combined them into one supplement. Dr. Zelenko is a board-certified physician in New York. He was the one that gave ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to Trump and told him about that, and he was really the guy that started the frontline doctors. Dr. Zelenko formulated the Support Your Immune Function supplement. Zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Take this every day. This is a great combination of a supplement that you can take of all the things we talk about on the show. This is an amazing product to keep you well, and make sure that you go get this. This is also manufactured in the USA. Head and order this. Go to the bottom of my homepage at katedalyradio.com. Hey everyone, there is a spray, a zeolite spray, on the homepage of katedalyradio.com. Right now, you can grab this spray for only $5. It's a huge big deal because they don't usually give it away for this, but they want you to try it. And this is an effective cellular cleanse, and it has a unique activated hydrated zeolite cellular level cleanse. All you do is spray it in your mouth. You can't taste it. And each day, and you'll get rid of the toxins in your body. You'll get rid of all those things like mercury and lead and arsenic and all the things that come through our food and environment and everything else. This is an advanced cellular cleanse. And my daughters actually turned me on to this. They were giving it to their kids too, and the kids were feeling better. Skin things were clearing up. All kinds of things were happening. People even give this for autism and having amazing results. Has no taste, and it's 100% natural. You'll love this product. It's called Pure Body from Touchstone. Even Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, huge proponent of this spray as well. So go get it. Thanks, you guys.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Daly Show. So glad that you're listening in today. Huge show. I've got Melissa Smith with me today. She comes on every Wednesday, and then followed by Susan. So a round of huge, good topics today. I also wanted to mention Balance of Nature. This Balance of Nature, truly, get this. I'm not kidding. 31 fruits and vegetables a day. There is no other food supplement that you can take to our lousy diet that we have to help you get those nutrients than Balance of Nature. I've done my homework on this. Trust me on this one. This is a whole food product, which, by the way, rarely exists now. Whole food products, are you kidding? Usually they have a high price tag. This one does not. This one is affordable. Anyone can do this on any budget. And you get whole 35% off when you order from the show. And all you have to do is put the code KATE. KATE, and free shipping too. And you can try it out. Try it out. It's guaranteed. Just try it. Try it for a week. See how you feel. See if you can feel that difference, because everybody I know can feel the difference. So balanceofnature.com, and they have a wonderful fiber drink that goes with it. By the way, tomorrow I am on Alex Jones hosting before this show, and then I go right into this show. And then also on Friday, Dr. Brian Artis. And in the first hour, you might want to catch us on podcast if you don't get the first hour on your local radio. But the first hour, I'm going to be talking about which foods to swap out at the grocery store, which labels, which companies should you be buying, and which ones you shouldn't be buying. And then a little bit on magnesium and sugar and all these things that we need to know that really surprised me. And I study this stuff all the time. So I have a whole hour for you that is based on what to go buy at the grocery store, because some labels are better than others. It's so important to know what you're feeding your family. And there's easy choices, and they all start at the grocery store. Okay, Susan, let's talk about how we can make this headway and how many of us it takes to do that.
Well, it's kind of funny, because you think that it's going to take millions and millions. How many people does it take to push back? How can we change the country on any number of things? I know sometimes I get really discouraged and feel like, you know, I'm all alone. I'm just here in my house and my little family. And how many does it take? So I think if we went out on the street and said, how many people, what percentage of the population would we have to get on our side to make a change? people might say 50%, 50, you know, a lot. Here's right. the number. It's a shockingly small number. It only takes 3.5%.
3.5%. That's it.
To be actively engaged.
Wow.
And when I say actively engaged, that does not mean sitting at home and being a social media warrior. That means you're willing to put your shoes on and go to a protest.
Hmm.
You're willing to do what needs to be done.
Show
to
up.
To make a difference. And I'm going to tell you that I think one of the reasons that the left is so completely terrified of what happened on January 6th last
mm-hmm.
year
mm-hmm.
was because they were confronted with the notion that that was more than 3.5%. That was that little group of people when Trump was able to turn out that size of a crowd
right.
in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
they panicked. That's why it's an insurrection, because they are accurately reading that every one person there represents how many more that stayed at home.
Right.
And that's why they're terrified of it. And so they're going to. They've got to pull the wings off the fly now, because they cannot allow that movement to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it grows, if they let that go and they don't shut that down, how many people is it going to be next time?
Right.
5 million? 10 million? How much? What is 3.5%? It's only about 11 million people. And I personally have begun to be of the opinion that our protests shouldn't be in D.C. anymore. I think we need to take it to our state capitals, our regional protests, whatever. They are terrified in D.C., and now they're going to bring to bear all of the muscle and armor that they have at their disposal. So we don't have to take this to D.C. I don't know why anybody thinks that they don't listen anyway.
Right.
But there are other places where we can leverage our muscle in a nonviolent way. That's another thing that I think is very interesting in all the research about how do social movements change a country.
Mm-hmm.
Nonviolence is one of the keys.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, whether it's humor, whether it's showing up, whether it's, I mean, this is honestly how it's done. I mean, I there's so many examples of it too. And that's why I want people to realize you don't have to be violent. We already have the Constitution. Violence was already rendered for this cause. We don't have to do it again. And a lot of people will argue with that, saying, oh, no, it's got to end up there. Not really, no. In fact, there's many things we can do with the system we have, because we already have it now. I mean, I can see violence in revolutionary times in establishing the Constitution for the first time in the world. I get it, because it was the first time we had religious freedom. But now that we have it, why can't we still work within that system?
Well, let me give you some examples, because, like you said, we do have examples. In 1986, the Filipinos took to the streets of Manila, totally peaceful protest. It was called the People Power Movement.
Mm-hmm.
And the Marcos regime folded after only 4 days of those protests.
Mm.
They took down what they saw as a corrupt regime. In 2003... the people in Georgia, not our state, but Georgia, yeah. like Georgia and Ukraine, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia ousted Eduard Shevardnadze mm-hmm. with what was called the Rose Revolution. Imagine if all the people that had showed up on January 6th had all brought flowers with them.
Right.
And they had thrown flowers at the Capitol building. Would it have had a different end? In 2019,
mm-hmm.
the presidents of Sudan and Algeria
mm-hmm.
both announced that they were going to step aside after protests, peaceful protests in their
right.
country. So what you have to be is, and I want you to think, we've just passed Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm.
He understood the power of a peaceful protest as well. Mm-hmm. But you have to, boy, you have to know where your feet are, and you have to be willing to plant them. And that's hard.
It is.
And I think that's what we're afraid of.
But what was that?
We're going to be confronted.
What did it look like? It looked like somebody going up to a lunch counter to eat. It looked like people walking over a bridge. It looked like, I mean, you had, who was violent? It was the ones that didn't want them there. The people that were actually standing up for civil rights in the South, because that's where we had the main problem, it wasn't all over the United States, it was mostly in the South, was because they were actually peaceably there. It was the white guy actually that in the South that was the one that started acting violent and beating him up and doing all kinds of things to him. Isn't that ironic? You know.
But let's go back even farther. Let's talk about how the women suffragettes, how did they get mm-hmm. votes for women? Yeah. They didn't do it by shooting up the voting place, the polling place. They did it by taking to the streets and carrying banners and saying, we're not ever going to give up.
Right. So it was peaceable. And by the way, can we even mention that the states were already going there? They were already deciding that. And here in the West, there were states that were already implementing it. I mean, they were fast on their way to doing it anyway. Because of why? Because of social pressure. And it's just like what you're talking about with what's going on with Blovid is the fact that social pressure is on now to point out the ludicrous and point out the fact, the hypocrisy of the CDC and how fraudulent they are and everything else, right? So I have to point that out, that social pressure is huge when it comes to reversing these crimes against humanity and the things that we're talking about with Blovid too.
Well, it's a matter of taking off a mask mm-hmm. and saying, I will not put that on. Yeah. And you don't have to be rude about it or mean about it. I think I talked last week about challenging the medical establishment where my mom, who's 94, was pulled out of her apartment and put in a COVID unit. Mm-hmm. And I called at the earliest opportunity I could and challenged them. And to be totally honest, I wasn't all sweetness and light, but yeah. I was very direct mm-hmm. and I didn't back off. Tell me how, make sense of this. Someone who's living in an apartment by themselves, why would you take them out of that situation and put them in a room that they're sharing with someone whose family's coming every day to visit? That increases their risk according to your logic.
Right.
So tell me how that made sense.
Yeah.
And I found out just this week, my mom talked to her doctor and he didn't know anything about it until that week when I called. I think the people that I talked to got mm-hmm. kind of concerned.
Right.
And the doctor immediately walked over and released her from that unit. That's how you make change. You have to know where your feet are and stand there and don't back off.
You know what else? Remember the little girl, 36 times she was suspended for not wearing the mask. Did she give up on the 34th time? No, she got to 36 times and they finally stopped doing it to her. she was like, I'm not wearing it. And they were so frustrated. But what were they going to do? They wanted the money from her being at school. 36 times before they dropped it. Do our kids have that fortitude? Are we raising them to be able to stand up like that little girl? I sure hope so.
Well, it's very interesting. And I'm fascinated by this. This is probably a longer conversation than we can have just in the next few minutes. So let's plan on talking about it. But I bumped into an interview that William Buckley, mm-hmm. the famous conservative, did back in 1972 with a 60s radical who was explaining how they were they having success? And Buckley didn't think they were at the time. Mm-hmm. So, it's very interesting because what this radical said that Buckley disagreed with, but which has borne fruit truly, this is what this guy said. Part of our belief, this is the leftist, part of our belief is that the first thing that you change, the first thing that occurs before political change is culture change. You have to change the conscience of people. On that front, we've made a great deal of achievement. The country has moved left, culturally left. Cultural revolutionaries have shifted the country as a whole in terms of questions on abortion, pornography, freedom for the arts, and other social issues. So they saw the mm-hmm. left in 1972 recognized that they had already shifted people's attitudes. And then the legislation was put in place. Yeah. I think sometimes we're working so hard to change the legislation, we forget we have to change people's hearts first.
Yeah, the
precursor. Little girl that did that, that refused to wear the mask 36 times, mm-hmm. she's changing people's hearts. That's a grassroots change.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It's the precursor, because they do. The people that want to change this country for the worse actually know how to do it and how to do it well. And we on the right, I think, have a hard time with trying to figure out how they game it. And the precursor to all of this, you're right, is that. I mean, look at, I remember having a shirt that said, the Walmart put out, we're all in this together. We're all in this. Remember the commercials in 2020? Oh, we're all in this together. It made me want to barf. That's Walmart for you. And so I said, I had a t-shirt with a little arrow that said, we're all buying into this together. And it was my counter to their little soft heartstrings, oh, we're together in this, you know, kind of movement. But it really took, didn't it? Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
He's spreading awareness, refusing to comply. We're getting fined and arrested for simply wanting to be free. And we will keep singing.
Let's go. Let's go.
You can stick your new world order up, yes. You can stick your new world order up, yes. You can stick your new world order where the sun don't shine but oughta. Stick your new world order up, yeah. Singing we are the 99%. Come on, singing we are the 99%. Singing we are the 90%. Together we are 90%.
Yeah, that song is very, very popular in Europe right now, and I can see why. Welcome back to the show. Tried to edit it as much as I could. And hilarious song, by the way. They took it from the Occupy, those leftist crazies. But they transformed it into a pretty funny song, and they're singing it all over Europe. And that has had impact. I love it. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I have Melissa on with me, and I also wanted to mention MyPillow. Make sure you get over to MyPillow. They are just a fantastic sponsor of this show, and they have great products. I cannot say enough about their sheets and their towels and their mattress toppers and their mattresses. Oh my gosh, the mattresses are great, and you can save on them so much money right now. 70% off. Are you kidding? Do you know the banks and the stores are now cancel culturing him? They are actually removing his accounts so that he cannot process stuff. He still has banks, but they're limiting the number now because they don't like his politics. All the more reason to go to MyPillow.com and start buying products that you'll love. Number one, supporting him, supporting capitalism in America, and supporting this show, Truth and Radio. Go to MyPillow.com, code word Kate. Please just do it. This is how we fight back. Melissa, welcome back. So much.
I just want to tag on to the end of that.
Yeah.
Please be sure to let Mike Lindell's bank in Minnesota know that you don't like him.
Yeah. Email him.
That's what it means to be actively engaged. You're just going to drop him an email and you're going to say, hey, you're anti-capitalist. I don't know who you think you are, but since when does a bank get to decide?
Yeah.
Send him a note. It makes you feel better at the end of the day.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. We had to go, but I mean, off of that one, but I just, there's so much coming out and there's so many reasons to fight, you know, MS is now detected from the shots. Oh, you guys, there's so many reasons. Oh, we've got to fight.
Well, I want to, before we leave this William Buckley interview, mm-hmm. I want people to kind of fully grasp that in an interview in 1972, this interview happened literally weeks before. It was recorded October 3rd, 1972, and Nixon was elected just in November of that year. Uh-huh. So it doesn't look in 1972 like the left has had much success, but they were planting, you know, we're all worried and wound up right now. Oh my gosh, the country, our youth are turning socialist and we don't understand. Where did this come from? The left was working in 1972 mm-hmm. to make it happen now.
You're right.
And they've worked very successfully at that.
You're right.
So we have got to take a longer view. We've got to take a more unified view. We've got to quit squabbling over, I'm going to put it in religious terms, we've got to quit squabbling over theology. You know, I don't care. You know, we can decide on some things later. We're going to have to put some things aside and just say we're not going to divide our momentum here.
Yeah,
I think right now Biden is a hot mess.
No, he is,
and we need to be pressing back on every front with him.
Absolutely,
in a unified way.
Just to get an idea about how they work, let me play this clip by Larry Grothwell talking about the 1970s and what they had planned. It's a 2-minute clip. Listen to this because they're so well organized. We have not been, and we need to be. And this is how they did it. Now we have to undo what they did, because you talked a lot about that last week, but also the fact that we have to unwind it, but at the same time, learn how they did it so that we can unwind it. Here's Larry Grothwell, FBI informant, talking about the underground and what they were doing at the time.
I brought up the subject of what's going to happen after we take over the government. You know, we become responsible then for administrating, you know, 250 million people. And there was no answers. No one had given any thought to economics. How are you going to clothe and feed these people? The only thing that I could get was that they expected that the Cubans and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Russians would all want to occupy different portions of the United States. They also believed that their immediate responsibility would be to protect against what they called the counter-revolution. And they felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest. Where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking and teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill 25 million people. I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have graduate degrees from Columbia and other well-known educational centers, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. And they were dead serious.
That was Larry Grothwell talking about their plans from the 70s on how to eliminate those people that just caused them a little trouble in getting all these leftist woke ideas through, and how they were going to do it. These educated people from Columbia and all these colleges, these PhDs, discussing how they could eliminate people, what they could do. It's been an amazing process. They're very well organized, and they set their plans in motion far in advance. Right, Melissa?
Yeah, and I can tell you, well, some of these plans started back in like 1962 and before. Mm-hmm. And it was a very small group of really radical people that initiated this. And they were able to kind of capture the imagination of that whole generation, right, the whole Woodstock generation. You know, the average person, a hippie or whatever you want to call them, they were not the intellectual giants behind it, but those giants were there, mm-hmm, and they were organized and they had a vision. Listen to this. This is another kind of quote that came out of Buckley's conversation. And think about this happening, this conversation happening in 1972.
Okay.
So the guy that's speaking here, his name is, let me get his, Dotson Rader. He admitted that the left had little interest in treating individuals fairly. It wanted to settle the issue of justice between groups of people. Here's the quote from him. One of the differences between this generation and revolution, say, of the 19th century, is that we're not interested fundamentally in equality. We're fundamentally interested in justice, which means we have greater tolerance of liquidating a class. So one of Buckley's co-hosts, another conservative that was there, interjected, "You're talking about murder. This is the way people get categorized as a class, Jews, Catholics, gypsies. You don't see people. When you talk about the word class, don't you see people? Is it that fixed that you can say you are to be shot and you are to live? And who the blank are you to say so?" And he, this Dotson raider went on to say, "You're right. I don't care who has to die." He said, "I will probably die. And yeah. I have a psychological need for that to happen." So it's not only murder, it's also suicide. So I want you to, if you think about what's it going to take to flip, you know, critical race theory with people who have that mindset. I don't know. We have to somehow, there's a very famous speech, I believe it was by Sojourner Truth, who was a black slave woman, and she was being denied her opportunity. She wanted votes for black women, and the suffragettes were not going to have it. And she gave a very impassioned speech, "Aren't I a woman?"
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the first thing we have to crack through. If I had a magic wand and could change something about where our society is headed, the collectivist idea is so bad.
Right.
And it's damaging. That's what the girl who wore the mask for 38 times was forcing. She was forcing them to treat her as an individual. They're trying to herd her up, you know, put her in the pen and like with all the other little sheeple. And she said, "No, I'm not. You can't treat me that way." And so that's going to take a lot of individual courage. We have it.
Right.
We have the courage. We have to learn how to capture people's imagination, how to engage their emotions, and how to marshal those emotions and that individuality in a unified way. That seems like a lot to deliver.
Yeah.
And we've got to start working it fast. We better get smart about it. We better look at what the left did.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are now successful. And they are right now, who was it that said, you know, those chickens are coming home to roost?
Right.
And they are.
And they didn't have the added element of having people really and truly, I mean, that was an FBI informant that I played, but truly, those groups did not have the kind of surveillance that we're under now. And we have to be really aware of those people that don't make sense. Why their sudden interest in politics? Why are they there at the meeting by themselves? I think you also have to look around, too. Not to be paranoid. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about just being aware of individuals that are there just to listen in on what you're doing, to possibly distort it, to actually, you know, bring something up about you or against you in some fashion too, because we have that new added element we just need to be aware of, not be scared of, just be very aware of, because they're everywhere and they love to get in these groups now. These leftist groups didn't have a ton of that going on because that's truly what the government and the world are behind, are the leftist groups. So they wanted them to succeed at these long game plans, but we're going to have to be aware of it.
What I want people to remember is that, you know, there is power in small.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a small group that has a clear vision, and you can marshal the support of a lot of other people, help other people, get the voices
look at East
of
Germany.
Others.
East Germany, that's what they did. It was groups of 10.
That's right.
Groups
and
of 10.
And there's power in that.
Yep.
Let's marshal that power. That's and that is not how the left worked. And we have every day I pray that what we have on our side is the power of morality and godliness and righteousness. And that doesn't mean, you know, holier than thou. We're not, you know, hypocrites about it. We have to get that fire in our belly to advance the cause. We've got there. Biden is so bad that they're on the run a little bit right now, a little bit.
Right.
So let's make them run a little harder.
Right.
A little faster.
Right, because they're incriminating themselves daily by the stuff they put out and the hypocrisy. And I'm sorry, but even your craziest leftist is going to start realizing the hypocrisy sooner or later, because you just can't ignore it to this degree. So that's on our side, too, is that lying, it means that they have to keep reinventing their packaging and their narratives and stuff. And so just remember that in doing so, it becomes more obvious that they're lying. So we do have that on our side. We have truth on our side, which makes it even better. So
well, going back to England, there are doctors inside the National Health Service who are now angry, and they feel that they were lied to about the vaccine. They were lied to about COVID, and they're angry now.
Yeah.
They're finding their voice slowly, but some of them have started to speak up.
Right.
And, you know, that's going to, I mean, I really do think England recanting on all of this is going to have an impact. I heard the Czech Republic has already done it.
Right.
And I've heard Eastern Europe has really not been all in on the masks anyway. But watch, you know, let's put some pressure on our companies. Yeah. My husband just wrote a letter to his company and said, why are you talking about this?
There you go. My husband had to switch jobs because he would not wear the mask. So you know what? We are in a state of having to be a little uncomfortable. We're having to deal with these things. But I promise you, God opens up a window when we sacrifice and when we do the things that are uncomfortable. And you might find yourself in a much better position. And I know that for a fact. Thank you, Melissa. Really appreciate you. Melissa
so
Smith.
Fun.
She's great, isn't she? And be right back with Susan. So, of course, you're not gonna go anywhere. And I hope. And we'll be right back. Kate Daly Show.